From our shorter precepts recitation, the second paragraph reads, "Not knowing, thereby giving up fixed ideas about myself and the universe, I vow to cease from evil. Bearing witness to the joy and suffering of the world, I vow to practice good. Honoring wholeness in myself and others, I vow to save all beings." I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but as Gertrude Stein said, good writers borrow and great writers steal. There is an element of stolen language in our version of the shorter precepts, although it, I believe, came with permission. We actually refer to language from the Zen peacemakers, and this language was developed by Bernie Glassman. And it's not language that, and of course he himself stole it from the Dharma, we might say. Not knowing is not a new teaching in Buddhism. But he is the one who connected this not knowing with the precepts and wrote these little precursors. So not knowing, bearing witness. And actually the language that he uses for the third is loving action. Of course, that goes with the vow to save all beings. So we have these little introductions to our precepts that come from Bernie Glassman that I wanted to talk a little bit about today. And part of the reason for this, part of the inspiration, I should say the inspiration for this, for me today, was the shooting in Atlanta, where we saw Asian American women targeted. Of course, this rise, this well-documented rise of hate crimes and racist incidents against Asian Americans in the United States over the last years. But this, of course, this hatred, this racism is not new. And we can look back into history and find massacres of Asian Americans. We can find internment camps. We can find all kinds of systemic discrimination, easily researchable, documented. And of course, each time these events occur, there are devastating consequences. And of course, our practice is one of compassion, one of bringing some wisdom, we hope, into this world, and compassion into this world with the help, with the hope of saving all beings. Quite a call for us, one that we can take quite seriously and consistently feel like we are failing. And of course, it throws us deep into not knowing, because we don't know how to approach. We don't know how to respond to this kind of an incident and pretend that we could alleviate the suffering that has been caused. And so we begin our vows with not knowing. What to do about the massive environmental crisis, what to do about all these situations that arise in our world. We don't know. So why don't we start there and not pretend otherwise? Just allow that to be true. Each moment disappears as quickly as it arises. By the time I speak the words I am speaking, they are gone. each moment empty of any fixed content. Sometimes this can feel frightening, like life is slipping through our fingers. Nothing that we can hold on to or grasp. And this nothing to hold on to can cause a kind of panic that makes people grasp even harder. Perhaps trying to accrue material wealth for themselves. Perhaps hoping to build a pyramid in which they can be buried with all of their precious things. And in time, even the pyramids will be erased. Some part of us knows that this clinging is pointless. We can't win. And as we gain some comfort with that, with impermanence, one of the fundamental teachings of Buddhism, we begin to find that it's okay. This notion that we are all falling and we have no parachute, but there is no ground. And this possibility of appreciating the fall, appreciating this inability to hold on to anything as possibility, as everything arising fresh and new, each moment of our lives, this freshness, this newness. We could not predict what would happen. And what a wonderful thing. Because then we take our next breath. Because then we feel the sensations of our life arising fresh and new. This not knowing is a fertile ground of endless possibility. And we simply meet what is here in this moment, which brings us to bearing witness. What is here in this moment, we do not know in advance, and so we are opened. This not knowing is a wonderful openness. This doesn't mean that we don't think, that we don't have skills or develop knowledge and capacities. It just means that we don't have to be so attached to those things. That we can let these thoughts be useful while they're useful, and then just go on their own way and open to the next moment and see what's here now. This curiosity, this huado, what is? The inability to answer in a fixed way the great koan, who am I? Or what am I? Opens up infinite possibilities. So we just look and see, and we meet ourselves in the form of the world again and again and again. Enormous freedom and liberation in this not knowing. And our commitment to keep turning toward things as they are. This commitment to bear witness to things as they are. And sometimes the way that things are appears very beautiful and joyful, filled with love and a sense of connection. Sometimes the way things are is sad. Sometimes devastating. Sometimes what we see is people hurting and killing each other. This world on fire. And our vow is to not turn away. to bear witness to the many different forms of life. And this opens up our heart. We can feel it shut down. Maybe when I mentioned the murders in Atlanta, there was a part of you that said, "Oh no, I came here to just be at peace tonight." That's the shutting down of the human heart. That happens. No judgment, that's just part of what happens. We are human and we get overwhelmed and don't want to be. But this possibility in our practice that overwhelming, and it's okay. We actually can continue to turn toward this world just as it is. What a thing. What a great capacity. Here we all are, Avalokiteshvara, bearing witness to the joys and sorrows of the world. So out of this great wisdom of not knowing, of cutting through our attachment to our thoughts, to our ideas about how reality is, interesting that wisdom, like in the Socratic way, is the not knowing, the cutting through, the letting go, the opening. Out of this wisdom is born a great compassion, a curiosity about how things are actually, a letting go of the defended self that needs to be in a particular way, a recognition that we can never defend that self anyway. An opening, a lack of separateness. Compassion is not just something that we feel for others, but it is a sense that others are in some way very deeply interwoven with ourselves. That we are not actually separate beings in the way that we imagine, and thus our great vulnerability, thus the desire sometimes to wall off from the great sadnesses of the world. We are so vulnerable. But this vow, bearing witness to the joy and suffering of the world. I vow to practice good, part 3. Loving action. It's one thing to approach taking loving action from a place of theory, from a place of, I know how to fix everything. A kind of arrogance in that. To me, it feels different to bear witness without knowing, but to respond from what we perceive to be necessary or beneficial in the moment. I'm reminded of the humility we find in the great koan. Have you eaten your rice? Have you tasted enlightenment? Why, yes, answers the monk. Wash your bowl. Let go of the idea of enlightenment. Let go of grand schemes. Just do what is next, what is before you. Wash your bowl. What is it that we can do to respond to this endless suffering in the world? These harms. Well, what is it that is before you? None of us will be perfect. We know that. We are limited karmic beings, and we are still open to the vastness of our interconnectedness. When I awoke this morning, I hadn't yet heard the news. And I was kind of caught off guard by it. And was headed directly into teaching. But I have a number of Asian American students in my class. And I know that some of them are scared. That some of them were deeply touched by this news. And to not acknowledge it, I think, would be difficult for them. So what do I do in that moment but honestly meet the moment? Tell them. I'm devastated by this. I'm so saddened by this and angry and upset. And here for you. And just open up some space for conversation. One moment at a time. So saving all beings may not look the way we imagine. We'll screw it up and make mistakes. We will not be the vast saviors that we wish we could be. We will be this little human form, responding moment by moment, as best we can. And a reminder that each person whose life we touch is also a living, breathing manifestation of the universe. One may imagine, oh, I can only help this one person in this moment. It's not enough. Why dismiss such an action as meaningless? Why isn't it the most meaningful thing? It is the manifestation of the universe in that moment, this encounter. Between these beings, this possibility of love, of connection. Of loving action. This saving is not the saving of someone who is better, saving someone who is worse off. It is the intimacy of encounter. The recognition of an interwovenness of our lives. A recognition of our interdependence. We in Boundless Way Zen have made some kind of commitment to these three guidelines, if you will, from the Zen peacemakers. We have in our tradition a connection, of course, with one of our ancestral teachers, Robert Aitken, who also began the Buddhist Peace Fellowship. Uh, We have a commitment now in our mission statement to practice in an engaged way. And people may be wondering, well, what does that mean? We're forming a committee to discuss that on behalf of the organization. And what a wonderful place to begin. No knowing. To bear witness and see what might emerge from this possibility. Thank you, everyone.